Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are studying in Revelation Part 3, and today we're on Lesson 10. And our lesson today is about Israel's future. And so we just want to begin our study in prayer and remember that the Holy Spirit is the one that will be teaching us. Father, we just praise you and thank you for this day and for another opportunity to study your word. And I pray for guidance and direction through your Holy Spirit, Father, because we know that he is the one that teaches. He is the one that inspired the word to be written down, and he is the one that will give us inspiration and give us the knowledge and wisdom. And we thank you, Father, and we praise you, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, as we are looking at Israel's future, we will want to look back at our previous lesson, because in the previous lesson we learned of God's promises for Israel. So let's just kind of look at these promises and review them in our mind and know that there is a future for Israel. God promised to multiply the people and that they would have a land of Canaan promised to them forever. And if they didn't obey him, he would send his wrath on them. And we know that came in the form of the Babylonians. And during the exile, he sent more promises through his prophets. And he told them that they would return with their whole heart at some time in the future. So the land of Israel will be prepared to sustain God's people when they return, and God will gather Israel from the nations and bring them back to their land. And we know that in May 14th of 1948, Israel became a nation again, and the people began to come back to the land. And we know that he is the deliverer that will come from Zion, and that will be his second coming. And then at that time, all Israel will be saved, and God will take away their sins in accordance with the covenant, and he will cleanse them and give them a new heart and put his spirit within them, and they will live in the land and be God's people, and he will be their God. Now, as we go forward in our study today, we're looking at the promise of the new covenant. So what did we learn in Jeremiah 31, 23 through 40. It gave us these promises that God spoke in Ezekiel to Israel. He spoke to Jeremiah, and then he spoke also to Israel. And so Israel will return to their land, and God will restore their fortunes. So when he makes a new covenant, the scripture taught us that he would write his law on their hearts, and that he would be their God. And this is one of the same promises he made to Abraham. And he said that he would be their people, and they will all know him, and he will forgive their iniquity. And of course, that indicates their salvation. And the city would be rebuilt and not be destroyed forevermore. So we know that the city has been rebuilt and they are now a nation. Now, looking further, we want to look at some more scripture that was given to the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 31, verses 35 through 37. So I'm going to read these verses, and we will see again how that God promised the people these things. So starting with verse 35, "Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun by light, for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel will also cease for being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out below, then I will also cast off all the offspring of Israel for all that they have done, declares the Lord." So what are these verses saying? We know that they were dispersed again, and Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans in AD 70. But Paul says all Israel will be saved, which hasn't happened yet. And it won't happen until the fullness of the Gentiles has come. And we know that that means their salvation. Now, in Hebrews 10, it quotes Jeremiah 31, "The promises of the new covenant are partially filled for the Jews and the Gentiles." And Jesus inaugurated a new and a living way to enter the holy place through his flesh, which represented by the veil of the temple. And so by fulfilling the old covenant law and prophecy, Jesus initiated the new covenant, and he brought forgiveness by his blood. But the new covenant will not be completely filled until all Israel is saved. So when will that be? We know that it hasn't come yet, but we know there is a time in the future that this will come about, when all Israel will be saved. Now, let's look at some of the feasts that we have studied in the past that relate to the prophecy and the events that are going to take place in this course that we are studying now. We're going to start and go through these feasts, and then we'll look at each one and see what they represent, why that Israel have these feasts. There's the Passover, the unleavened bread, the first fruits, a Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks or Harvest, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. Now let's look at each one of these feasts and see what they are about. This is what the Jews are doing even today. Many are still carrying out these feasts. Now the Passover was a memorial of the Jews that were exiled from Egypt, and death passed over their homes with the lamb's blood. And of course, we know that that blood that was passed over at that time represented the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Now, Jesus, our Passover, has been sacrificed. He is the Lamb of Revelation, and He died on Passover, and His blood is the blood of the New Covenant. Now, let's look at unleavened bread. That is celebrated on the day after Passover for 7 days, and it's a reminder of the cleansing from sin after coming out of sinful Egypt. So they celebrated, and that celebration was to remind them that they had been cleansed from their sin when God brought them out of Egypt. Now the church is to clean out the leaven of sin. Cleansing is a part of the new covenant. Now let's look at first fruits. This feast was not celebrated until the manna stopped. Israel was in their land and they reaped their first crops. We know that whenever they were in the wilderness for 40 years, that God provided manna from heaven. But then it stopped whenever they were brought into the promised land, because there they sowed and reaped their crops, and they gave the first fruit or the first of their crops as a memorial to God for bringing them out of Egypt. So Jesus is the first fruit of the resurrection to come, and He was raised on the day after the Sabbath. Now then, let's look at Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks or of Harvest. It's celebrated in the third month of the year, and 7 weeks plus 1 day are 50 days after the first fruits. Now the first fruits celebrated a coming harvest, and Pentecost celebrated a harvest. And as Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection, there is coming a harvest of life from the dead that will take place in the future. Now, they celebrated next the Feast of Trumpets. The next three feasts are in the seventh month. Now, in the Bible, trumpets were sounded to gather Israel for announcements, or it was sounded at feast offerings and the first of the months. And the announcement in the seventh month was the coming Day of Atonement and the Feast of Booths. Now, let's see what the Day of Atonement represents. That's next. The feast at which atonement was made for Israel's sins for the year. So they had a feast, because whenever they went to the temple to get forgiveness and to make sacrifice, the priest would go into the Holy of Holies and offer the sacrifice to God for the sins of the people. That was for 1 year. And as we looked at Hebrews 10, it describes the priest entering the holy place once a year with a sacrifice to make atonement for Israel's sins. But Jesus, the perfect sacrifice and high priest, entered the holy place in heaven once for all time. and this feast is fulfilled by his work on the cross. But Israel as a whole has not yet received him as their atoning sacrifice. So there are still many. So when will the Day of Atonement, when will he return on a Day of Atonement? No one knows, but we know that it could be at any time. The Day of Atonement signifies the time when all Israel will be saved and the new covenant promises will completely be filled or fulfilled. It's the beginning of the millennial reign when Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom on this earth and reigns for 1,000 years. So that will be the Day of Atonement. Now let's look at the last celebration, which is the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. This feast reminded Israel of when they were in the wilderness, living in temporary dwellings, and the Lord was in their midst, living in his tabernacle. This points out, or it seems to point out, the time of the new heaven and earth and New Jerusalem. And it also might include the 1,000-year reign. God's promises to Israel are sure, because we can go back to the book of Genesis and all the way through the scriptures, we see how that God made promises to his people, Israel, and he always fulfilled them. Now, the last thing we want to look at is God's promise that he made on the day of Pentecost. And we see that in the book of Acts 2. So I want to read verses 1 through 21 and see how that God fulfilled this promise to fill the people with the Holy Spirit. He promised that he would come. So now we're looking at that time, starting with verse 1 of Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was given them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each of one of them was hearing them speak in their own tongue. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in their own language to which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in their own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God." And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They are full of sweet wine." But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words, for these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. For this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and the old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond servants, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So what are these verses here saying in this chapter? This takes place now at the day of Pentecost. And remember, after Jesus' ascension, before he ascended, he told the disciples and those that were following him to go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. So this is about the time, it says, when they were all together on the day of Pentecost. They were in one place, and suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were able to speak in tongues. And all of these that were there, which were from all these many nations, they were speaking in their own tongues, but each one were able to understand the other. And it says they continued in perplexity and amazement, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But there were some mocking and said that they were drunk. But Peter, he tells them and the 11 with him, he declared that all that live in Jerusalem to take heed, but that they are not drunk. And he quoted then what the prophet Joel said in the last days. Joel the prophet was given the prophecy by God what would take place. And here we see in his prophecy, he talks about the Spirit. He says that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. And so it was poured out then on both the Jews and the Gentiles. And many of the Gentiles then of that time became a part of the church. So let's look at some more scripture in Acts. This is about 8 years in Acts 10, about 8 years after the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I want to read verses 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. And then Peter answered, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we did, can he?" and he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked him to stay a few days. So we see here that the Holy Spirit was poured out both on Jew and Gentile. And many of the Gentiles became a part of the Christian church. Now let's also look at the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. Because here we see as Paul was speaking to the Ephesians, he tells them how that both Jew and Gentile have become one body. So I want to read verses 14 through 18. For he, Jesus himself, is our peace, who made both groups, Jew and Gentile, into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh, Jesus' flesh, the enmity, which is the law of commandments containing in ordinances, so that in he, Jesus himself, he might make the two, Jew and Gentile, into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So here we see that Paul is saying that Jesus taking the initiative to take all the sins of all people, both Jew and Gentile, he abolished the sins which came through the law or the commandments or ordinances, because he himself took the two into one man, the Jew and the Gentile. And he wanted to reconcile them both to be one body in God. And he did this through the cross. He took our sins. He put to death the sins of both Jew and Gentile. And he preached peace both to the Jew and the Gentile. So this explained that the Jew and the Gentile are now in one body, and they both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ becomes a partaker of the promises. Now, most Gentiles have come into the church, or more, I would say more, Gentiles have come into the church than the Jews, but the time is coming when all Israel will be saved. Now, there's only a remnant, and most of Israel rejects their Messiah, Jesus. So, this doesn't nullify God's promise to Israel, because he will gather them and take them through the fire and save those who are left at the end. So we know that when the rapture comes, both Jew and Gentile, those that have died, that are in the grave, and those that are here on this earth, when Jesus comes for the bride, the church, he will rapture them, all Jew and Gentile that have believed upon his name, and they will be carried with him into heaven. And then the tribulation or the wrath of God will come, and there will be both Jew and Gentile in that time of the wrath of God, because there will be both that will not believe and they will be left behind. But we know in our studies that God provides the word that they still have the opportunity, those that are left, not the ones that have died, but the ones that are left at that time during the tribulation. God will send the 144,000. Well, they will be here, these Jews, 144,000 Jews, and they will be sealed by the word of God, and they will preach the greatest revival that will ever been preached. And there will be many Jew and Gentile that will be saved at that time. And also at that time, he sends his two witnesses that will be here, and they will be preaching the word, and many will be saved at that time. And then we know that at the end of tribulation, that Jesus will come back to this earth and rule and reign for 1,000 years. And after his reign, there will be judgment. All of those that are in the grave that did not believe when they died, and then all of those that are left during the time of tribulation and the millennial that would not believe and accept God, then they have to stand before God's throne and be judged. And of course, after their judgment, they will be cast into the lake of fire, along with the false prophet and the Antichrist. And Satan, at the end of the millennium, before the judgment, he'll be loosed for a short time. But then after the judgment, he will be cast also into the lake of fire, along with those that are unbelievers. But we know that all Jerusalem, these that are left, these that are still here, that have become believers, there will be a remnant. And all of Israel, all that is left, will be saved. And so, we know then that all of these that believe will be brought through the fire and will be in the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. So, we will end our study today on that, and our next study, which will be our last study in part 3 and our last study in the book of Revelation. And this study is going to be such a wonderful study because it is pertaining to the time when every eye will see Jesus. Because whenever he comes, we know that every eye will see him. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it says that when every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So, then, what is the sign of his coming? And this is what we'll be studying in our last study. So let us close today in prayer. Father, thank you that because Israel, because your people, so many refused to accept you, then, Father, you had your word preached to the Gentiles. And through the preaching of your word, the Gentiles became saved or received their salvation because the Israelites rejected you. it was then carried to the Gentiles. Thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you had the gospel preached to us, all Gentiles. And we know that all these Israelites that rejected you, that once they believed and had faith, they were grafted back in, and they too are your people again. And we know in your word that you teach that all Israel, all believers, all of those Jews that believe will receive their salvation along with all the Gentiles that believe. And our prayer today is that all unbelievers will hear your word and receive your word, Father, and be saved. And we ask it now, all in the name of Jesus. Amen.